that too?
Yes, we are.
Oh, shit.
Recording.
Here we
serve.
Go.
I was alone, I took a ride, I didn't know what I would find there. Another road where maybe I could see another kind of mind there. Ooh, and I suddenly see you. Ooh, did I tell you I need you every single day of my life? You didn't run, you didn't lie, you knew I wanted just to hold you. And had you gone, you knew in time we'd meet again, for I had told you.
Ladies and gentlemen, according to the man to my right, that song's about marijuana. And I know that sounds ridiculous, because why wouldn't they just sing about weed? Why do they have to do it in some weird sort of a metaphor? Is it a metaphor or an analogy? Metaphor.
Herb.
I get those confused. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you once again for tuning into the podcast. As always, sponsored by The Fleshlight, Todd McCormick, my good friend to my right. Todd McCormick is a weed activist, an old school OG weed activist, one of the first dudes probably that I ever heard of that went to jail for it. 4 years?
Five years.
5 years in jail, where he went to court literally for medical marijuana, which is passed by state law, went to court for it federally, and they would not allow him to even use the term medical marijuana. So basically, they get you in a case, and then they railroad you by restricting your language because they don't have a thing called medical marijuana in their world. They define the world that you're allowed to argue your freedom in.
Yeah.
Even though under state law, what you did was absolutely legal. Under state law from 1996, correct?
Yes, November 96 we passed.
1996, it's been legal in the state of California for medical marijuana. Todd McCormick has fought through cancer several times when he was a child, and he became educated as to the ways of the voodoo plant and became a crazy activist.
Yeah.
Have you ever fucked one of these things?
Not
Fleshlight?
Yet,
no.
No.
You want
Captain
one?
Has a cap though.
I'll give you one. This one
it's
I wouldn't give
Fleshlight?
You because a lot of people have touched it. This is a masturbation device.
Oh, I use girls for that.
Sometimes
plastic, huh?
Sometimes girls talk too much. This never.
Not if you never. Put something in their mouth.
Oh, Todd.
They need a Janis Joplin one.
Silly goose. You don't want to say that you have relationships.
Like
you have relationships and you have sex. Let's not say that you use them to masturbate with.
No, sometimes they use me, though.
Oh, well, that's fine with me, right?
It goes both ways.
So anyway, if you're into masturbating, obviously you never masturbate.
That's
is
a
that correct?
Creepy tool, though. It looks like you should bring it camping.
It does, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like a lamp.
Like the old school D batteries and shit.
Right.
I think that if you were Les Stroud from Survivor Man, you could use this to keep water in.
Totally.
You know, take out the fake vagina. He would salvage it as a water container.
Yep.
You know?
You could probably fry it up.
Fry up vagina.
Fry up the rubber vagina.
Dude, it might be good.
Brian, you found out where the line was, and you just jumped right the fuck over it, and you freak.
I like eating Fleshlights.
Well, anyway, they sponsor our podcast, and they're super cool people. We got
real.
To hang out with them.
Yeah,
yeah. We podcast. Have a fucking, this is a corporate sponsor, man. It's like serious stuff.
I heard that.
And we're forced to fuck it. We have to fuck them.
I heard they party like rock stars, by the way, the Fleshlight guys.
Is that what you hear?
I heard that too.
Hmm.
Very nice guys.
Wow. And you can bring
the people who run the company, this guy Chris, who we've been in contact with, is fucking cool as shit. And we met all of them, the whole group of them. At the Austin Comedy Show. They're the super coolest.
You're going to be back in Austin, by the way, like November.
November, yeah. So anyway, Todd is a friend of mine. Todd is a guy. He got me into The Union, that movie that we were both in. That was because of Todd.
Thank you for doing it.
It was fun. It was cool. And I think a lot of people, I think it opened a lot of people's eyes. That was a really well-made documentary on weed and where the money's going.
That's got a lot of, it's had long legs. That's still very popular. And I mean, last April 20th, it was shown in over 500 showings on 420.
Wow.
Yeah.
Put this thing up.
Pretty amazing.
Let me see if that makes it louder. Do we have the thing facing him? We got new microphones here, ladies and gentlemen.
Here, I'll turn
very
them up.
Cool. Very cool.
So you got me involved in that, but you've been basically, I don't think I've ever had a conversation ever with Todd that didn't involve pot.
I apologize.
Technology.
I'll call him up. It'll be like 1 o'clock in the morning. Dude, you're not going to believe that they found this new strain of THC that lets you see through buildings. It'll always be something.
Yeah.
It's always something weed related.
There is always something weed related. You know, when I first read a book that sadly I'm now the editor of, which is The Emperor Wears No Clothes, which I just gave you.
Why sadly? Why do you say sadly?
I say sadly because the gentleman who actually wrote the book passed away on April 15th. His name was Jack Herra, and he was a...
We were both friends with Jack. He's a super cool guy. And the book is available. You can get it on Amazon.com. You can get it everywhere, right?
Yep. And we just released the 12th edition, and what we did with it that's a little different is we actually made it a tribute to our friend. So everybody that already has The Emperor should pick this up because it was originally dedicated to Jack's friend, Ed Adair. And now it's dedicated to the man himself. So we have really nice pieces of writing from his children, from his family. And then what I did is I kind of collected all these stories, which you'll see from all these people that are really influential in the cannabis world now that we're all heavily influenced by Jack. And the reason is because this is somebody I feel like that, you know, didn't just touch lives. He penetrated a lot of lives.
Well, what people don't know, let's explain the whole deal, what this book is all about. This book basically profiles how marijuana became illegal, what it was used for hundreds and hundreds of years. You know, long before it ever became illegal, not only just for psychoactive uses, but for textiles and for people would eat the seeds. And, you know, I mean, you could do so much shit with it. It really is mind-boggling that this is all real. But it took a guy like this to kind of open people's eyes because Jack was, I mean, he was clearly a hippie when he died, but he was, when he was younger, he was a Goldwater Republican. Yeah. He was this real no-nonsense. Wasn't he a veteran
Very
as well?
Very conservative, yes, veteran.
Yeah. I mean, he was like super conservative fucking Joe Friday type character. Right.
Well, what enraged Jack is he found out, it wasn't so much finding out that cannabis hemp was good for you, it's finding out that the government lied to us so significantly for so many years. And one of Jack's greatest accomplishments was that he was given a tape, U.S. doctor, by the U.S. Department of Agriculture.
Hemp
called,
for Victory.
Yeah. Well, he gave it to a Wall Street Times reporter who went to source it at the Library of Congress and found out that it wasn't listed. And he came back at Jack saying, yo, what are you giving me? Bad information here? You know, you must have made this. This would have been listed had it really been made by the government. And Jack went to the Library of Congress and tried to look this up. And he didn't find it in the microfiche. He didn't find it in any of the digital resource material that they provide you. And he went outside very frustrated that he didn't find this because he believed it to be real. And he had this epiphany while he was smoking a joint. What if we had come here in 1942? There wouldn't have been microfiche. There wouldn't have been computers. And he walked back in and he asked this question to the lady. And she said, no, we would have brought you to these books. And yes, we still have them. Come on over. I'll show them to you. And in it, he found Hemp for Victory listed in two different spots. And somehow, when the people at the Library of Congress were putting this information into our archives, they omitted this information about Hemp for Victory. And then Jack had to actually resubmit this to our own Library of Congress while he found it in there because he had to document that he actually found it there. And then once he documented he found it there, he had to then give it to them to reapply it to actually list it. And this
how incredible is that they will delete part of history because it doesn't sit with their agenda?
We proved them wrong. Page 96 and 97. These are the entries he found, and these are the letters to the curator saying you have to put this back in.
That is fascinating. That's absolutely fascinating. What's also fascinating, this is 1942, so this is after they had already passed the marijuana
tax stamp.
Yeah.
37.
That made it illegal for people to smoke and have, and it was all basically done right after Prohibition was done. They needed some new demon to go chasing after, and this was one of the best ones to go after.
What a lot of people don't realize is in 1936, the very famous film Reefer Madness was sponsored by a group of liquor distillers, and I learned that in the strangest of place. I found it on the CNN International quiz back in the 90s. It said, who sponsored the film Reefer Madness? A, a church group, B, the U.S. government, or C, liquor distillers. And honestly, I answered wrong 2 out of 3 times, just because I didn't really think it'd be that overt. Yeah.
Like Partnership for Drug-Free America. What people, what we should tell people before we keep going on and on about this Hemp for Victory, we should explain what it is.
Yeah.
What it is a propaganda film from the 1940s where they were trying to get people to grow hemp because it would support the war cause. Because, you know, we needed hemp for ropes. We needed hemp for sails. So it was a video to get farmers to be excited and patriotic about growing hemp. And it was called Hemp for Victory.
Literally.
It was the United States government soliciting farmers to grow what is now a Schedule I substance.
Correct.
Fucking what? It's crazy. 2010, and this is still going on. I mean, it is amazing that it's kept up as long as it is. There's zero information at all. There's nothing that can show that it's any more dangerous for you than coffee.
Well,
nothing.
You know what, though? When we talk about this, I think that the real reality behind prohibition wasn't that it got you high, because the government's job is not here to protect you from cigarettes, protect you from driving cars too fast into a tree, or to protect you from guns, or to protect you from knives, or to protect you from pharmaceutical drugs. In all reality, the government doesn't really care about your well-being. The reason they really stepped up and said marijuana was so bad is because it competed with a lot of the synthetic solutions that they were offering us now in society. Things like plastic, things like tree paper, things like petrochemical fuels were not actually always derived from these sources. And what, you know, when we talk about everything leads to pot, in a really weird way, it does. When you look at our history and you learn our history, you know, they brought us into schools and they bored us so mercilessly with our history classes that we didn't learn our real history. We didn't find out what we used for paper before trees were being felled, and we didn't find out that Rudolf Diesel never expected a diesel engine to run off petrochemical fuels. We didn't learn that stuff, and when I learned that stuff, it truly blew my mind.
Yeah, the original diesel engine was meant for biodiesel.
Right. So if back in the 30s, if I'd walked up to you and you'd been a hemp seed oils producer and you made paints and varnishes and things like that, or ropes or sails or heavy-duty tents or canvas for art, and I'd walked up to you and said, hey, they're going to make a plant called Awesome Illegal, you'd looked at me and said, I've never heard a plant called Awesome. And it would be the same as calling it marijuana. It would be the same as calling it chronic, because it was a name that had no meaning. So you could have looked it up in every encyclopedia.
So what we call marijuana, everyone before that called hemp.
Hemp or cannabis.
And correct. That is literally where the term canvas comes from.
Cannabis.
Yeah.
All canvas came from cannabis.
Yes.
All the covered wagons that went west.
Mona Lisa painted on cannabis.
Yeah. A fascinating thing a lot of people don't realize is when Columbus landed here, he found tobacco. He did not find what he really expected, which was cannabis hemp. Because while Europe was evolving with things like paper and cloth and sails and ropes and maps and Bibles and paints and varnishes, North America was still carving on cave walls with rocks, because the Native Americans here did not have the plant that Europe used to evolve from, really, in a sense, cavemen-like days.
So you think that the reason why Americans were not evolved, or Native Americans, was because they didn't have cannabis?
Well, let me break it down.
Really,
China was invented. China invented paper 5,000.
This is a theory, though, right?
Wait a minute. History shows us China invented paper 5,000 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, hemp and mulberry. The second thing is when you start looking up canvas, the very first crops we farmed in Europe were hemp for cloth. We only got cotton gin in literally 1800, 1790, we got a patent for cotton gin. All the time we were humans before that, we were still wearing clothes that weren't cotton. We were wearing hemp, because hemp was everywhere we were as humans. You know, this is why the Native Americans were wearing leather. They didn't have, you can't make corn t-shirts. You get me?
Right.
And when people think that our country was founded, our farms were founded on corn and cotton, they are kidding themselves. These people that are going to Farm Aid in a few weeks thinking they're going to save the world by having locally grown produce are stoned. We built these farms growing canvas so that those covered wagons could go west, and so soldiers could have heavy-duty clothes and tents, and so that people could actually have the materials that they used to, like, actually cross the Atlantic.
First Levi's jeans.
We're made out of hemp. You know, we're made out of canvas, realistically, as were most all of our source materials of fiber. We didn't have other plants. This is where cannabis gets into a really big role, because when you go backwards and you say, what was available? well, wasn't silk we were wearing, wasn't cotton we were wearing, wasn't rayon we were wearing, wasn't any of the synthetic fibers that we think we have today. It was realistically hemp. And hemp is what we started growing all over North America because we needed to found this country because we didn't have hemp growing. That meant we couldn't make ropes, we couldn't make paper, we couldn't make clothes, we couldn't make sails to sail back to Europe with. Unless we grew hemp. They used to have to sail with barrels and barrels of hemp seed because if they crashed, they would be able to grow back the source materials to fix their ship with to get the hell out of Dodge.
Whoa, wait a minute.
Yeah,
so
break
that
on
down. Travel, hold on a second. So they would go places in their boats and they would travel to places with seeds so that they could fix their boat with the plants that they would grow with those seeds.
It's more than that. You could eat the seeds while you were traveling because hemp seed has been a nutritional source for us for thousands of years. And now we know through science, we prohibited this plant before we were using vitamins and minerals in the 40s when we had this big epiphany. They were good for us. And we outlawed the number one nutritious-based plant for these foodstuffs. And they were using this stuff historically because it traveled well. It's small. It crunches up. You can eat the hull. And what they would also do is they would plant it and places they went. Hemp seed was of such a valued commodity in places like China, they would kill you if you tried to export their varieties of Chinese hemp. Thomas Jefferson, our president, smuggled hemp seed out of China if you go look up his historical records.
That's insane. Yeah. Okay, so just hemp, the textile, you think is responsible for a great deal of Europe's evolution? Just the ability to use it?
Was paper a big part of our evolution? Was clothing a big part of our evolution? Was sales? Did sales help us at all? Rope?
So these American Indians, which really came here on the Bering Strait from Asia, they just missed out on a plant.
When you look at it this way, they did not have the tools available to them that the Europeans had.
And they didn't even have, they weren't even riding horses until the Europeans
came. The Spaniards
came.
Brought
that's
them
a lot
over,
of people don't
true.
Even know that. They, you know, picture
they
Indians
were nomadic, wearing leather,
horses.
Chasing animals.
With their feet, they would run after them.
It's true.
Yeah, they would run after them and they would kill deer by exhaustion. That was like one of the main ways to do
it. You know how hungry you got to be to do that. People talk about stress now. They don't know stress.
Don't
stress
know
must have been
means.
Being that hungry that you'll chase a deer till he dies of
and
exhaustion.
Sometimes they die as well. Sometimes they would die of exhaustion as well. And but they would die knowing that their tribe would get to eat this deer. What the fuck, dude?
Well, see, I think this is what interconnects us so deeply.
It's no weed. It's no
they
seeds.
Didn't have any weed.
They didn't have weed.
They didn't have
their
seeds.
Life would have been so much better.
They could
better.
Have thrown seeds at it until it died.
When did they figure out the bow and arrow? When did Indians figure that out? Indians were
definitely
way behind the curve.
Definitely after the person started smoking weed. Because I don't.
It's not that they were behind the curve. They didn't have the tools available than the Europeans had. That's the biggest situation. They didn't have the ability to make canvas sails. They didn't have the ability to make Mona Lisas.
Right,
they didn't
have.
Paper. They didn't know paper. They didn't have oils that they could make paints into.
So everything was in stories. They told everything in stories.
Yeah, they worked with what they had. But we did that in Europe, too, for quite a while, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. Until
you know?
We figured out those things. So you think that was like the biggest leap of evolution, the ability to use that stuff? The ability to use hemp? You think that was like
the ability to use paper to complete and you connect our thoughts to one
so
another?
So there's no
this
paper
is heavy
before
stuff.
Hemp. Hemp
See,
was
people,
the only paper
It was the first
time?
Paper. The first paper,
paper
ever invented was invented in China with hemp and mulberry. Yes, it's an incredible story if people haven't. There's
and
a great
was,
book
is
called
it the first cloth
Marijuana,
well?
The First 12,000 Years by Ernest Abel. Yes, it's the oldest piece of cloth. Go to Wikipedia. We
that's
have
insane.
Piece of hemp.
That's insane.
This is insane stuff. This is how deep it is to our whole being. And when they took this away from us, they took away a financial independence from all of us. All of us. And that's why we are fiscally impoverished right now. This is why they turned it into an import trade economy that people from Nebraska can't compete with Russia for grains that are grown.
I know that what you're saying is true, but God damn does it sound hippie Alex Jones.
Hippie
doesn't
Alex.
So if you smoke the Mona Lisa, it won't get you high because it's hemp.
It's hemp.
It's not psychoactive.
It's true. It is true canvas.
But, can't
is,
even, but you can't even grow that shit in America.
Well, that shit
grow
is
shit
growing in America. It shit is
but
growing.
It's illegal,
it's,
right?
Look, it's, well, no. This is the kick in the ass. If you go to Nebraska, it's growing in the fields. But,
they,
the, but if you
to
try to harvest it and turn it into something useful, oh, guess what? You're getting arrested for growing marijuana.
What?
And this is the deception.
But how
the marijuana
how can
is
they,
not the point.
How can they arrest you for growing marijuana if it's not psychoactive?
The psychoactive part doesn't matter. How about that, if I said that in all honesty? Because, again, you're looking at the deception. Like, if you read The Art of War, it isn't about winning the war to your opponent. It's about getting you all distracted in a distraction so we can go around you and take the war.
Right.
What they're doing is they're taking the prize. The prize is our environment, our freedom,
yeah,
our economic stability.
That sounds, that's,
you look at the petrochemical companies. Well, the companies
that... So they're
that
just trying to poison the environment? Is it that, or they're trying to control a business?
I hate saying they in that negative a term, but when you look at something like the military-industrial complex and that the way they've crept into our life, and you look at the petrochemical economy, so rich that they could put idiot sons of oil men into presidencies for 8 freaking years, and the president of Halliburton can basically retire from his job and go wage wars and hand sealed no-bid contracts to his own company. This is how much they own our reality. So you don't think back in the 30s they stepped in and went, check this out. We got this great new invention called nylon. Only stumbling block? Hemp.
No,
you know that shit we
used
for hundreds
of years? I'm absolutely sure that that's what started it all off.
Right.
I mean, I'm absolutely sure it was Harry Anslinger and William Randolph Hearst. And,
well, it was solutions. It wasn't problems. It was, hey, I got a better nylon. Hey, I got a better rope. Hey, I got a better paint. Hey, I got a better fuel. Hey, just get them away from that for a minute and focus on my mind. And if you read through the DuPont's actual, they have a summary that goes out to their investors, and it actually states in it that the revenue-raising power of government would be used as an instrument for social change. Now, that's using the tax stamp.
DuPont says
DuPont,
that?
I'll break it on. Do you got an old emperor? Do you got an 11th?
No, well, somewhere in the other room.
Well, I'll show you. And it's freaking evil when you read it. Because they were just
looking... What's an 11th? Or what were you guys just talking
about? An 11th edition. This is the 12th. 12th edition of the emperor.
I didn't know 11th either, but I said yeah.
Yeah. You sounded smart.
I was like, I have one. I mean, I'll bring it to you.
But when we talk about marijuana, we're missing the point entirely because this is the deception.
Okay, but who is they, though? This is the big question.
Depends
like, who is they?
When, depends
who
on
is
the
they
element?
That's trying to keep hemp illegal right now?
Well,
who
for instance,
they?
Right now,
right.
It's the beer and industry
sure, yeah.
that just kicked in against Prop 19 and are saying we don't want that.
And Proposition
they're protecting.
19, for people who don't know what that is, there's a proposition in California on the next election to make marijuana legal for consenting adults above 21 years old, and it's leading in the polls, right?
Yes, we are. Yes, it is. Yep.
So I know all you lazy bitches in California who are registered to vote because you think, fucking bullshit, man. It's all like fucking New World Order, man.
How do you register to vote? What's the easiest way? Can you go online and do it?
You can go down and get a register at your post office, and you can do it right there.
Really? At the post office?
It's that easy. Oh. I think it closes in about 4 days, though. I think you got to get it in by October 1st or October something, first week of October.
Get it in, bitches.
So you can vote in this election. So get out and vote.
Yeah, this is one that's important. I think that most national – look, no one gets to vote whether or not you go to war. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You don't get to vote whether or not they raise taxes. Like, the idea of this being a democracy is kind of silly because it's really not what you think it is. It's not like everybody has a say and how everything works and you vote on things. But on a state level, it kind of is. On a state level, there's a lot of shit that you can actually get done. Even bad shit like making gay marriage illegal.
Yeah.
I mean, you can make they did. They went out of their way. They spent a ton of money to try to take back gay marriage. Why would they do that? Because they're fucking retarded. But the point is, they can do it. They expressed their retardation and their ambition, and they actually got something done. They got for a little bit. And
you know, I mean,
didn't the Supreme Court throw it out?
I think that same demographic might be our favorable in cannabis because I think
same
a lot of the minority.
Are you talking about the urban community?
Yeah, in a lot of ways, minorities.
Cue the fucking music. Doom, 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 doom.
What? In a lot of ways, the minorities have gotten their ass kicked more than anybody because they've used racist terminology in order to scare people into actually prohibiting something that Americans used for hundreds of years. Well, that's marijuana. It was a slang term from a Spanish song. You know,
wasn't marijuana a wild tobacco from Mexico?
No. Actually, marijuana, por favor, wild tobacco?
Yeah, that's what I read. I read probably on the internet.
When you say wild, though, wasn't it all kind of wild? What do you mean?
But it was a slang for a wild tobacco that grows in Mexico.
I like that. I did not read that.
Yeah.
But the term was in a Spanish song, and that's where they got marijuana
and
with
the
hate
from. What was the term
for? Marijuana, por favor. It was the end of not La Cucaracha, but a similar song.
But what was it meaning in the song? What was its meaning?
Like chronic to Dr. Dre. It was just a slang term. I'm not sure if actually he was saying it looked like a smoke from smoking marijuana. Well, toke, for instance, has one definition, a puff of a marijuana cigarette.
Right.
And I'm not sure if, because I wasn't around back then when they pulled this out of the song and I didn't know the artist, if he was gesturing to cannabis in his own song. But
so
that's what the government
not have been,
used.
But it became that.
That is what it became. Huh. And so it was directed towards the racism, towards the Mexicans.
Yeah, that's why the way they got it. See, what happened was they came out with a thing called a decorticator. And the decorticator allowed them to process the hemp fiber much easier. Before they used to use slavery.
Yes.
And then when slavery became abolished, it became a pain in the ass to use hemp. So they used cotton and all sorts of other stuff. And when they came up with this decorticator, they were like, this is the shit, man. We're back. Hemp is back.
Hemp is back.
Wasn't
That's
it on
right.
the cover of
Popular
Science?
Mechanics.
Popular Mechanics.
Yep. Did a very large article called
hemp,
the new billion dollar
crop. Yep. And so everybody was like super like down for this. Like, this is it. And then they, when they passed these laws through Congress making marijuana illegal, these people didn't even know that they were outlawing hemp. They had no idea.
No, they had no idea.
And they made a new name for it to sneak it
right.
through.
The American Medical Association protested on much of the Marijuana Tax Act because of exactly that. They actually called it something else so they would trick people, and a lot of the protests they got came late because people that were making paints and canvas had no idea they were outlawing their source product.
It's fucking incredible that was 1937.
1937
was
when it was outlawed. October 1st.
Still rocking today.
37. Ignorance
still
is amazing.
That, yeah.
But when you say they...
with all this information, that's the crazy thing. This is not ignorance back then when you had to go somewhere and get a book and who knows who wrote it. No, this is you get the information from Google, from your fucking cell phone instantly.
Well, let me tell you, man. I think, you know, there used to be a
from
day when you
iPhone.
Couldn't find out about hemp, and now it's just, you know, you can mistype the word help with an M, and you've got a whole new reality when you hit go on Google. And
right.
I think that a lot of people now, you know, you can fool some of the people some of the time, and I think that time is fairly over for the government. You know, we're all sitting here with screens in front of us, so to speak, and, you know, now we're in a situation where we don't have to go ask some stupid adult for a stupid answer. We can go ask, you know, the collective intelligence of humanity and say, what the fuck's right. hemp? And, you know, you're going
to
get a real answer.
Yeah.
How are libraries even open anymore? Seriously, like I...
Still, it's a good resource, man. There's books really? In there that are hard to get. Right. Yeah, you might not be able to get the book online, you know, instantly, right away.
Yeah, but what I mean...
It's
what
a sacred institution
to
some.
It's cool about reading books in a library. You know, it's cool that there's a place where everybody agrees to shut the fuck up.
I heard that's
I
like a
that's
new,
good.
New bum thing now. Libraries are like bums and like where you buy drugs.
You
and
heard
stuff like
that?
Well, Ari goes to libraries a lot.
And he goes and buys drugs and has sex with boys?
Has sex with boys in the aisle four.
Well, you know, Ari lives in a shit neighborhood too.
Yeah.
Ari lives in the belly of the beast.
Yeah.
What fucking library is he going to?
West
you know, if you
yeah.
go to the Pasadena library, it's probably not filled with bums.
Totally.
You know? I don't know, man. I think there's something cool about the idea, though. As a community, a knowledge center, you know, mm-hmm. a place where we can all go and find out about shit.
It's called Best Buy now.
Yeah, not even. It's called your fucking house.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
It's interesting that that's changed so much, radically so,
right.
in our lifetime, you know?
Well, you know, Prop 19 gives us the ability, or gives counties the ability, to implement hemp farming here in California. And while it doesn't explicitly... state hemp in the passage of it, you know, cannabis, what's going to happen when Prop 19, hopefully, if Prop 19 passes, what's going to happen is different localities are going to be able to choose what type of cannabis farming they allow in that community, you know? So places like Oakland are going to take advantage of the ignorance of the cities around them and say, come grow your pot here. Because they know it's going to get exported, and
mm-hmm.
they're just going to make their money and they're going to enjoy it. But I think a lot of cities are going to step up and look at it from a opportunistic perspective, you know, especially in places like the Farm Belt where we are losing a lot of money.
Yeah, and there's so much money in weed. Weed is the number one cash crop in California right now, and it's illegal.
Correct. Very much so, correct.
Isn't it like, what's number two, wine?
I don't know about that. I thought wine was significantly lower.
State.
Boobs are
yeah.
not a product, no, like a plant.
You can grow boobs.
It's not a crop, bro.
You know, this is, I think, a big push of why they want to legalize in California, and we're getting more and more assistance with this, because the AG's office estimated that this was up to a $14 billion a year industry, and the State Franchise Tax Board estimated that we're paying about $100 million a year from the medical marijuana industry in taxes, and that's a very small percentage of the plus $1 billion they would get a year if they taxed all that
The crazy thing is there's two separate arguments for it, and both of them are ridiculous. Both of them are beyond belief. The argument for using it as a product, a non-psychoactive product to make clothing, superior cloth, to make superior paper, much more durable, to make all sorts of oils and edibles, seed concoctions, and all sorts of shit that you can do. You can make fucking particle board out of it that's way stronger than the particle board that we use to make buildings right now. You can make it and it's lighter and stronger and easier, and you can like replenish an entire field where if it was trees that were doing the same thing, you'd be fucked. Because those trees take decades to grow to the point where they are before you chop them down, whereas the weed renews itself every year.
Well, a mind-blowing statistic that came out of the U.S. government from their Bulletin 404 on paper production at the beginning of the 20th century said that 1 acre of hemp was equal to 4 acres of 20-year-old Douglas fir trees for the same amount of paper production.
That's crazy.
Damn!
And you want to go crazier? You could grow hemp every year for 20 years... and you blow it away on such a level it's not worth comparing.
It's incredible that it's still illegal. So on that side...
When you say they, though, now you're starting to get the they. It depends on what element of this plant, what spoke we're pointing to when you say they. Because liquor industry has a strong corporate interest in keeping things status quo.
Right.
As does tobacco, as does petrochemicals, as does pharmaceuticals.
They've picked it up along the way. People have figured out other reasons to try to do it. But it's to me, it almost... I always wonder when there's a great resistance to something that's obviously great, you know, something like marijuana, whenever there's some big resistance, I always wonder if, you know, there's the theory that every negative needs a positive and every positive a negative, and that everything that you have that happens to you in life motivates you and pushes you towards some sort of a predetermined goal. And it's almost like what's going on with this anti-hemp, anti-marijuana movement. When you know for a fact, if you're a person who's around potheads or you know people that have started smoking pot, it relaxes you, it makes you nicer. Like, what would be the motivation to try to stop all that? What would be the motivation socially for someone who starts getting really old? And I start to think that maybe it's to make the potheads work harder. Maybe they need a rival. You know what I'm saying? Maybe they need a foil. Maybe they need something to push it into the consciousness because it's not being pushed quickly enough on its own. Maybe people just, if it was legal, they would just smoke it and not worried about it, and they would almost take it for granted.
Maybe not. I think you that, know what I mean? You know,
do you ever think like that? Yeah, do you ever think that this whole life is a program? It's moving towards a determined goal. Just like an ant is moving towards making an anthill, a bee is moving towards making a beehive, that human beings are also natural and we're also moving in some predetermined direction.
No.
And that's why war has always existed and still does. Money exists, corruption, ego, sex, babies move forward, technology innovates. All moving together in one direction towards one giant event.
Or it might be the exact opposite, and it's just nothing.
It's all chaos. There's no way it could all get planned out to the upteenth
degree. I don't think it's planned
out.
No. That's not what I'm saying. I don't think it's planned out. I think it moves forward in an ethic. It has an ethic to its progress and evolution. That it's moving towards a specific direction.
Humanity?
Yeah. The entire human race, and we are all a part of an equation that's so gigantic that we can't even see it.
Everything
we do, all our emotions, all our jealousies, desires, everything is all just parts and numbers in this equation, and it is moving towards some direction. That's how we're all intertwined together.
I think the only reason we're here is we're like little nerve endings on a body, which is humanity, and our collective experiences just basically aid humanity in its basically constant evolution, and like we matter as much as the nerve ending that burns off when you touch a teapot and remember I'm never going to touch a hot teapot again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's all we're here for, a little bit of stimulation input on a bigger collective beyond of life.
I think we're just all an iPhone app from like iPhone 82. You're not even like that far off.
Well, my thoughts always go towards technology whenever I talk about the subject, is because I think that we're getting to this very strange point where we are creating all sorts of incredible things, like constantly, not we, you or I, but people far smarter
humanity.
Than us that probably don't even get laid. And they're making all this crazy shit. And you've got to wonder why it's going in that direction. What is it? What is it about this constant thirst for innovation? You know, is it all tied together? You know, is the human's job on this planet, is it really just to give birth to technology? Is it to push technology into some new place that opens up some new reality?
Yeah, I don't know how much our technology is going to matter when the sun freaking implodes and freezes over and this becomes a little chaotic rock floating around.
Oh, well, you know, by then, the fucking computers have already figured out how to punch a hole into another dimension, because computers, once they become sentient, can make better computers instantly.
We think that. But we think we're awfully special.
But listen, man, if we can construct human DNA, if we know what it is, we literally have DNA figured out, what's to stop them from making something artificial that's exactly the same thing?
Oh.
Eventually, it's going to happen.
But you know what I often ponder is, why do we care?
Why do we care? Because it's fascinating. There's the reason why this shit gets done in the first place.
But it's
because people are curious.
To the degree of finite, it's going to come to some type of, you know, the sun sets on every beautiful day. You know?
Maybe.
So what's it matter
if humanity
lives
thousands
and thousands of miles?
Maybe the Earth is spinning around a gigantic nuclear explosion and just appears at the sun setting.
Completely a metaphor.
The sun doesn't set.
No, damn it.
That's my metaphor, too. The sun doesn't set. It fucking keeps rolling, baby. It's Groundhog Day, motherfucker. It goes on and on forever until you get it right. I don't know, man. But you know, what's the point in thinking about anything? When people say, "What's the point in thinking about what the direction the whole human race is moving towards? Whether or not technology is connected in some sort of a symbiotic way that you're giving birth, you know, by being a human being, hatching some new life form like a fucking like an aquatic worm that pops out of a grasshopper after it forces the grasshopper to jump into a swimming pool? You know, I mean, maybe. Who the fuck knows, man? It's very possible. It's all fascinating. It's all fascinating. And when you look at all the, I mean, this goes back to this whole cannabis thing. If you look back at all the weird blocks and roadblocks we have in the way we think about things and these patterns and channels that we follow, that's one of the reasons why pot has figured out some sort of a way to elude freedom for all this time. You know, it's like over and over and over again, people have found like these little weird retarded reasons to make it illegal. And to force it back, despite all the information that's available.
It's been illegal much less time than it's been revered.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, that's what people don't know. But in our lifetime, it's 100% of the time. We can't – that's intangible to us. We don't – you know, we know that for 10,000 years, people have been using it, and it was a part of rituals of priests and shit. That doesn't mean shit to me, though. I'm 43 years old. In my lifetime, it's been illegal the whole time.
And do you remember when you were in college, like, you would see these guys trying to, like, sign this paper, let's make medical marijuana legal, and you used to
like,
think –
this crazy asshole.
Those guys are ridiculously wasting their time. That's never going to happen. It's so weird.
Well, I was anti-pot back then, too, so I would have totally thought that.
Right.
You were anti, huh?
Look at those losers. Yeah, totally. Yeah. I mean, look at those fucking pussies. Go to the gym, you fucking homos.
There were some of my best customers, though.
Who were some of your best customers? Who?
The stoners collecting signatures.
Oh.
Absolutely. Yeah. But you know, man, a lot of guys in the gym use it, too.
Oh, they do now. They do now.
They did then. You don't think Schwarzenegger was smoking fucking weed when he was going for Mr. O? Go ask Tommy Chong who he was smoking weed with back in the 70s.
Well, he was in the movie, man. He was smoking weed in the movie. But it wasn't as prevalent as now.
No,
close.
No. I mean, when back in the 70s, when they were hanging out at the gym, you know, and all these guys that wrote, you know, the Encyclopedia of Bodybuilding and shit, they were all stoners.
Well, you know,
they used
one
it
of
for
the reasons
recoup.
Why.
They used it for appetite. They used it for pain suppression. They slept better on it. They got way bigger using pot than
they
not.
Used it because they were roided to the gills and they wanted to calm the fuck down.
Oh, no shit.
That's
too.
Why they use it. That's right. The number one reason.
It still
to use
did
it. All of those
other
things kind of came as, oh, it does this too.
Yeah,
but listen, man, they used that shit because they were trying not to break people's windows open
in
their cars and
the
traffic.
The Hulk was on steroids. You're going to
I'm not talking about the Hulk. We're talking about Arnold.
Lou. I think Lou is too, though.
They all are. You can't get that big. That's not a human's not supposed to look like that.
Right.
You know, what do you think about this Lance Armstrong thing? They're going after Lance Armstrong hardcore, man.
Mm. Well, they're hating on him, man.
Yeah, he fucked up. I think it's a personal use thing. I think you should be able to do whatever the fuck you want. Who cares? Who gives a shit? I think it's bad. It's a bad example to set to the kids because kids want to like they want to cut through all the bullshit and get a nice fat shortcut and stick a needle in my ass and I'm Lance Armstrong. But yeah, that's really part of it. I mean, you don't just get straight there. You got to do a lot of work too, you know. But
a lot of work. It wasn't just a shot in the ass.
No, it's a fucking tremendous amount of work. But that shot in the ass is important. All that shit.
Yeah. Yeah, ain't no question, you know.
You know what my problem on that is? Same as my problem with marijuana, is where does that end? If you're telling me that
is it
you can't come up with
lie?
Some sort of a... Yeah, it is, but it isn't, because it's all illegal. You can't say, oh, I'm just taking human growth hormone because it makes me perform better. They'll say, no, you're not allowed to. You're not allowed to take something to perform better. Well, what's fascinating about that is right now you're just dealing with athletic performance and trying to keep a level playing field. Sure. But really what you're talking about is the boundaries of human potential. And if we scientifically change the goalposts of human potential, if they come up with myostatin inhibitors or some new fucking nanobot that they can stick into your system and you recover like fucking Wolverine,
right.
That's all real. That's it all is. On the way. So what are we going to not have that so some fucking dildos can hit a ball with a stick?
Do. We have this puritanical you know view on everything, and we're supposed to lie rather than be honest about the reality around us. And that's really the problem that we're all living in. Because if all those guys could dope up and then go bike fucking France, we wouldn't have an issue about, oh, you lied to us.
Well,
you
know,
we'll get you, over
we don't
it.
Want,
you know?
We want a level playing field. The thing is,
but wouldn't it be level if they were all jacked?
Yeah, but they'd all be dying too, man. I mean, Lance Armstrong lost a ball. You know, that's no joke, son. He's when still, your ball rots
he,
off.
He is still getting laid.
Yo, he
don't
got ball cancer,
it.
Son. That is no junk. Don't that, say
you can't
no big
say
deal.
That's why he got it, though.
Well, you can't say that's why he got it. You're right. You can't. But that's probably why he got it. Is that true?
That,
no,
or just
not
maybe
probably. There's no. Is there any scientific data on that?
Be a ball pincher. He always pinches.
He
his balls
could be riding on
sex.
A bike with the fucking seat that looks
yeah,
like it's
totally
you know
bad
totally
for your balls,
wrong.
Right? You're right.
I'm just saying.
You're
it
right.
Could
you
be
could
a
totally
host of reasons.
Your balls smashing up against that thing all the time.
It
it's
can't
gotta,
be good.
It yeah. can't be good. That's can't probably where he got good. It. I wonder if he like now he just pushes that sucker to the side.
I'm sure.
When there's
I
only
think
one
they,
ball.
I thought they have fake ones and they feel just as real and they just put it in there. It's like an implant, so you never.
So you
lose
think
one.
That's what he did?
Well, that's what I would do, wouldn't you? No, wait, no, I don't want.
You that. Wouldn't have a story then. Yeah. So why your loads are so small? When you're shooting half loads,
right.
You know,
you just carry around some like little container and just squirt it stuff on her and act like it's
squirted her. Stuff on her, Brian. Yeah. Really?
Squirt
from the flashlight.
From the fleshlight.
Don't forget our sponsor.
Boy, this show go downhill.
Just, so Prop 19
just started talking about loads,
man,
and
I'm telling you.
Anyway, yeah, the Lance Armstrong thing. Who the fuck knows what Lance Armstrong did? All I'm reading is this Men's Health article, and the Men's Health article is like everyone that he hung out with is in jail. They're either in jail, or they went to jail, or they got fined, or they got busted, or they got you know kicked off the Olympic committee or whatever the fuck it is, cycling committee. There's like the whole slew of dudes he was hanging with, and they're all busted for doping. They're going after him for the same shit they went after Barry Bonds for. They're going to go after him for the same shit they went after Roger Clemens for, too. It's all like whether or not you testified. What did you say
yeah,
when they asked
it's
you?
You lied.
You lied.
It's the lie.
Isn't that crazy?
But see, shouldn't we be just as pissed? They lied at the U.S. Department of fucking Congress Library. Shouldn't we be enraged, you know?
About that?
They
yeah.
lie so much. And then it's like, we're going to worry about some fucking asshole biking his way around a foreign country if he got shot up on drugs, but we're not going to freak out as a country
and
call these assholes to Congress if he fucking they lied about denying us history?
Well, how about
you know
how about weapons
is?
Of mass destruction? Forget
oh,
about that.
Jesus.
How about
no
the fact
shit.
That no one went to jail for that?
$3 trillion we spent in 10 years.
No one went to
three
jail
trillion.
For lying about having information about weapons of mass destruction. If you dig into it deep enough, you realize that it was a lie. It wasn't simply that we were misinformed, because we weren't misinformed. It was bullshit.
They lied.
They wanted to get us in
well,
there.
Well, that's why they've been lying about Afghanistan, and no one's
and
talking about that.
And yet they're going
either.
After this dude who rides a bike.
The bike.
They're not going after anybody that was Dude. Involved in this weapons of mass destruction thing. I mean,
no.
When was the last time anybody seriously talked about bringing Dick Cheney to justice?
But it's the art of deception.
But that's brilliant. There's something fascinating about that. Well, there's something fascinating about the fact that it's obviously not fair. It's obviously not correct, and yet we allow it.
We're complacent to it,
yes.
You know. And the problem is that the people that are in control just totally deceive us with this stuff that doesn't matter. I mean, you know, good for Lance Armstrong, but come on, really? This does not matter in human evolution on a lot of levels. But the fact that they took away such an important element of our farming and our capability to provide ourselves with raw materials of life, that's epic.
I like how you just brought it back to weed.
Yeah, it's all about
weed.
I
like what you
man.
Did there.
Yeah.
So if it became legal, are you going to become a huge farmer, and are you going to start like what's going to be your big thing, like hemp brawls or?
Well,
the cool thing would be having a place where you could go like a cigar bar, and everybody would just get stoned.
I want a bowling alley, weed, awesome movie projected everywhere, kind of night.
Yeah, but the problem with the movies is, man, people want to talk when they're high.
No. It's a bowling alley. They're just displaying movies everywhere. Like on the walls are all different crazy movies, like you know, like Pulp Fiction and
oh,
shit.
That's distracting.
Yeah. It won't roll well, but
well, that's what I'm saying. It's like kind of like Night Bowl. It's more of just like a party bowl.
Okay, right. And you could smoke weed there, but you would have to have a private club. See, this is the issue.
You just have memberships.
Yeah, you'd have to have a, that's why I said like a cigar bar. It would have to be a private club.
Yeah, but it's like $10 to get in. Yeah. $10 membership.
Yeah.
Expires tomorrow. Cool.
Right. Yeah. That's
well, you know,
I don't think you can do that.
Positronics, which was this epic marijuana place in Amsterdam, was exactly that in the 90s, a private establishment. When you walked in, you became a member, and then you could shop there, hang there, get information there.
Oh, okay.
But not until you became a member. Yeah, because then it was like a collective in a sense.
Well, that would be a smart move. Just have instant memberships at the door for $10, and you have to become a member.
It was 25 guilders at the time, pre-Euro.
Yeah, that's a sweet move.
It worked great.
That's probably what'll happen.
Yep.
If it gets through.
When Prop 19 passes, every single adult is going to be allowed to grow up to 25 square feet of cannabis without a doctor's note. And, you know, the real people that should be crying about this are the doctors that have been writing these phony prescriptions to anybody that'll walk up to them. And, you know, even at, you know, trade shows, which obviously I do now, but some of these other trade shows have had just paper mills of doctors, you know, undercutting each other, $35 for a doctor's note. And it just makes a mockery of people that have actually been sick.
Right. Yeah, it definitely does.
You know,
but I still think that these doctors, a lot of them, like put their necks out there. They put themselves on like Eidelman. Eidelman lost his ability.
Dr. Eidelman is not a paper mill. Dr. Eidelman is a very good guy who actually is a very well informed doctor who is really trying to help a lot of people out. And the doctors that have stepped up, like Dr. Todd McAreeder and Dr. Lester Grinspoon, who's in that documentary with us and others, have been phenomenal on the forefront of getting medical marijuana accepted in a legitimate way. And in a sense, it's their work that's being tarnished by these other doctors that are stepping up and being so, you know, blasé with writing these recommendations for nothing other than a hangnail. And we as a community have caught a lot of slack for this. And when Prop 19 passes, adults that are over 21 are not going to have to go in and renew that doctor's note anymore unless they have a legitimate medical condition and need to grow more than the 25 square feet that the law allows them.
Okay, I disagree with that because I look at it as a loophole and I say go through that fucking loophole. I
don't give
a
shit if you
have a, I don't think it figure fuck if you have a hangnail.
Absolutely.
If it's a legal avenue for you to get medicine, it's not keeping it from sick people. It's not like you're denying sick people. It's not like you're saying, well, hey, this is an insult to people that are sick. No, there's plenty of medicine for them too. That's ridiculous. It's opening up the door to the rest of the population, and that is absolutely a good thing. And the more prescriptions you could write, the better. Well, I don't give a fuck if it's for sunburn or headaches or life. What bothers you? Life bothers me. Have some weed.
And there's going to be more weed
everywhere. What is medicine, man? What is a fucking aspirin for a headache?
Shifting back to the bicyclist, it's all about the lie. And what bothers me as an adult that I can't just hold up my ID and say, hey, I fucking got it right. When I'm over 21, I can drink booze, I can buy guns, I can drive cars, I can ride motorcycles, I can jack off to porn. But for somehow the government's going to step in and say, we're going to take away your joint? That's bullshit. And you know what? And for anybody that is
but we're not talking about that. We're talking about there's an opening.
Get it.
There's an opening where you can get it. Even if it's not legitimate.
Opening. But after this passes.
Yeah, but it's not denying anybody their medicine. You have an issue with it because it's a lie, but who cares? It's not denying anybody their medicine. And it's giving more access to people, which spreads more weed, which is better for everybody.
Right. I'm down with that. And the hangnail is not, in a sense, a lie. What's the lie? Is that the guy with the hypothetical hangnail just can't say, I'm a fucking adult. Got to write.
That's all well and good,
back
but
off.
You need step one before you can get to step five. Step five, legalization. Step one, fuck yeah, it opened the door. Giving out those hangnail prescriptions, those help everybody, okay?
Right.
Those open the door for this Prop 19 to make that shit possible. Without the hangnail prescriptions, man, there'd be half as many weed smokers. People smoke weed because they know they can do it legally in California. There's
that's
a lot of people.
Right.
I have friends in the business. They go, hey, I got my card. It's fucking awesome. I don't have to worry about shit.
Right.
It feels so great.
How many of them, though, once 19 passes and they're legal, like they have booze, are going to go and get a prescription for medical alcohol? Because they could do it now. But how many do? Because they don't need it. They walk into it, they buy their Jack Daniels, they go home.
You can get a
prescription
for medical alcohol?
Easily. I'm sure you can.
How could they? No.
Talk to your doctor. I bet you. I'm not even going to say.
Making that up.
No, it's not true. They were writing them all through the 20s. Absolutely, they were. They were making medical exemption back then. I'm sure in some situations.
They made medical exemptions for people for alcohol during the prohibition?
Absolutely.
Were there certain states where you could go and get it?
Oh, you can even see the actual like prescriptions for alcohol written on the internet if you type. type it in. Yeah, because it was a way they were going around alcohol prohibition in the 20s.
So there was medical alcohol states?
Well, it's better. Alcohol prohibition actually didn't really prohibit you and I from consuming alcohol to the same degree. If we had it, we could consume it, and we could even distill a small amount of it for ourselves, like bathtub gin.
You could?
You couldn't do it in a production way. Because
there you was... could make your own moonshine back then, and it was legal?
Well, in some instances, yes. Wine was considered sacred. Think about this. They would have it at church. Well, right, and here you are distilling alcohol, right? And you would also be able to distill alcohol for extracts,
but you would use
an herbal extract, so somebody would have to make the alcohol that then soaked the herbs that you men made the medicinal extracts with.
Okay, but were you allowed to have a glass of wine with dinner?
During alcohol prohibition?
Yes.
Personal consumption wasn't prohibited.
What?
You do realize that, right?
No.
Yeah, speakeasies. Check it out. Speakeasies got busted because I couldn't serve you the booze. Once you had the booze, you could drink the booze because we had these fucking things called fucking civil rights back then. And the reason marijuana wasn't put in the Harrison Narcotics Tax Act, the Harrison Narcotics Act back in the 1916, is because they didn't believe that they could fit it in because marijuana wasn't refined, distilled, or manufactured in any way. And the only things that they thought they could limit from humans were things that were refined, distilled, or manufactured.
Okay, and explain to me this whole speakeasy thing. Explain to me how they would bring in their own booze? Is that how it worked?
No. That's what got speakeasies in trouble, and that's
because
how they got
busted. Because they would sell
booze. They would furnish the liquor.
Okay, but if people brought their own booze to a bring your own beer place.
Well, you know what's funny? In places like Florida, after hours, you can bring your own booze to like these clubs, and then they serve it back to you, right? And
in Ohio,
you can be there after hours.
Right? I went to some place with fucking Mark the Hammer Coleman, dude. We brought in a whole cooler filled with Budweisers,
and they served it back.
I feel like it was Columbus, man.
I don't know. Maybe
same concept.
It was like late at night. It was like a private place, I think. And you bring in your own beer. Dudes are bringing in coolers of beer. I'm like, this is the craziest. Me and Eddie were like, this is the craziest shit I've ever seen.
And it was because
a long time ago.
After 2 o'clock, they couldn't furnish you, but they could give you your own stuff.
Dallas had a place like that too.
Mm-hmm. See, that seems weird to me because then wouldn't you be able to, like, when they're like last call, then you would be able to just go to your car and get your beer from your, you know, car? Like, I don't think that's like,
what are you talking about?
Long?
They didn't have last
go back
call.
In. You
they're
mean
selling
go back
alcohol?
In. Well, see, but their attitude is we're making all our money selling the alcohol. Get the hell out of here!
You just pay to get in.
Yeah. And then they sell you the booze, and they make a ton. And once they can't sell you the booze anymore, they have no interest in that floor being crowded.
Well, this place was like after 2 a.m. You were allowed
to bring
your own shit,
and that's exactly what it was. A lot of the beach communities had it.
Yeah, that's very strange. Very strange loophole.
But you know, people now don't realize that back then we actually had civil rights that we didn't give up. You know, it was the commercial production of alcohol that was prohibited.
We were close enough to the days of the country was founded. It's like it started off in one direction, slowly slid away.
Well, you know, though, you hang in Europe sometimes, and you know, Europe has a much stronger base of civil liberties. You know, women are allowed to be topless in Holland anywhere a guy's allowed to be. You know, they have equal rights, as crazy as that sounds, you know? And here in America, we never really saw World War II happen on our own soil, and we didn't see what it was really like to lose our civil liberties in the way that much of Europe saw Germany come and crush their world. And now, they hold themselves a lot dearer. You know, you look at France and the way they protest, you know, and they all collectively take a day off when they get pissed off. There's all this solidarity, because they, in a generation ago, know what it was like to lose that freedom, and they don't ever want to lose their freedoms again.
So, United States is less free than France. What are you, a fucking communist? What kind of?
Yeah, it turns out I think of America's a lot.
What
less
about
free
freedom
in
prize?
A lot of fucking way.
Remember that freedom prize? Was that the most ridiculous shit ever?
Oh yeah.
Remember that? Oh my god, that was shocking.
I do.
That was like we were playing a song last week about building the mosque at Ground Zero. There's some country music guy wrote one of the You Can't Build a Mosque at Ground Zero song. It's like the same
Did
thing.
He really?
It's like,
you can't build a mosque at Ground Zero.
You can't be a racist where I'm a racist.
So ridiculous.
Like it's insane. Parking. You know, this whole thing, though,
Although I'm not
pro-mosques.
Yeah, exactly.
I hate all of them,
all
honestly.
Of them.
They all
suck. But most of them won't kill you if you draw their dude. Okay, Islam is the craziest by far. They're taking it to the next level. If you even draw their dude, you're dead. They execute a fatwa against you, and they go after your ass. They're going to kill that chick that made Draw Muhammad Day. She had to move to America and hide. Okay, she had to change her identity, and she had to go into hiding because they issued a death warrant to her because she invented Let's Draw Muhammad Day.
See, the problem is, again, it's they. That's
what it
is.
You know what's so weird
we
about
that,
though?
Rid of that.
Is that just recently they decided to become pissed about this because, like, South Park drew a Muhammad episode like 5 years ago. Didn't get shit for it. No one talked about it. No one threatened anyone or killed anyone. Then that dude across seas had that little comic that he did and did it and started off some shit storm. So it's not like they.
Right. But then South Park. Park tried to do it again.
Redid it, but because of that guy. Yeah, but because of that guy. So it's like this one guy is who they're really pissed off about.
Well, no, it's not this one guy.
Or it started with that guy.
No. It's radical extremism only accelerates. That's what it is. It just gets more and more radical. And the more people accept it and fear it, that gives them power.
Right.
When people fear that their retribution, it gives them power and it makes them feel like they're doing the right thing.
Right.
You know, Allah be damned.
A left Dutch politician said that the problem we have is that we should not tolerate intolerance.
Yeah.
And it's true.
It's true. Yeah. You can't just tolerate it because you want to be nice as well.
Right.
Yeah.
Turn the other cheek while they're blowing you up. And it's like, wake up, people, you know? But again, religion is a whole long conversation, and I think it sucks.
Yeah. Well, it's obviously not real, you know? I mean, it's not to say that there's no God, but for sure he didn't write that. None of them. He didn't write any of them. There's probably some good ideas in all
of them. First Bibles? Printed on hemp.
Actually, it was animal skins.
Was? No, King James Bible is not on
animal skins. No, it's before the King James Bible is the Dead Sea Scrolls. It's the oldest version of the Bible by over 1,000 years.
But that wasn't printed. It was written.
It was written. Oh, printed.
Yeah. King James Bible was the first printed Bible, right?
Okay. So before, they wrote it on animal skins, and then they write it on hemp. They wrote it on papyrus. Mm-hmm. And then canvas paper. And canvas paper made out of
hemp and mulberry. Yeah, back in China. China kept the invention of paper a secret for over 900 years.
What?
Yeah, read the history. It's phenomenal. 900 years. That's a pretty long secret.
How the fuck? That's a massive
advantage. That's pretty good.
There's not one gossipy Chinese person that's like, oh my God.
Hey, they built a wall. They were pretty like, yo, you stay over there. We are over here.
They had some crazy shit they had figured out. They had figured out way before Europeans were fucking around with the wheel and trying to fucking figure out how to dye their clothes. Chinese, they had written the I Ching. You know, which, you know, mathematicians that start looking at that and trying to figure out what, you know, it's basically, if you don't know what it is, it's like a method of divination. It's almost like a fortune telling program. It sounds completely ridiculous, but McKenna and a lot of these other psychedelic people believe it's some sort of map of time. And that what they did is come up with some insane calendar, and that what the I Ching represents is this insane calendar. It's a lunar, a 28-day cycle lunar calendar. And there's all this, like, you know, talk and research to support this idea. These motherfuckers had come up with that thousands and thousands of years ago when, you know, the Western world was just useless. We were just barbarians.
What do you think about the argument about 2012 that, you know, the Mayans obviously weren't really worried about the little carpenter Jew baby in the middle of the country over there? Because, you know, we based this whole calendar on some Christian thought, and I don't really think that the Mayans were really counting by the same calendar as the Jewish people.
The Mayans didn't even predict their own demise. They vanished way before.
So, do you know what year it is in China right now, though, for instance?
That's true. They're like, the end of the world's coming. The end of the world's now for you, bitch. You don't even exist anymore. You know,
wouldn't they be talking about that more?
They have no civilization. Right. You guys had the most advanced civilization at the time, you know, other than Egypt. I mean, other than that, they had the most advanced structures. They mapped the heavens. They aligned a lot of their building constructions to solar systems, to constellations. I mean, they were super, super advanced, and they disappeared. Gone. No one was there. When they found those temples, all those beautiful, like Chichen Itza, there was nobody there. Shit was overrun with jungle. They got to hack the jungle down to get to the most incredible structures in South America.
Yeah,
it's fucking, these things are insane. They estimate there's something around 1,000 temples that they have not discovered that are just in South America, in Mexico, all throughout that area. They have no idea. They have no idea how many there are. These motherfuckers just vanished. They were super advanced. They vanished. And they don't know why.
I wonder if they had iPhone 5s.
I know.
Just saying.
No, they had better. They had drugs and space and no lights. They had no lights, so you saw every single fucking planet.
Space and no lights is a good combination.
And they're just doing massive doses of LSD and figuring out the universe.
Yeah.
There was a plant that they had harvested that can contain lysergic acid. And this guy who's the we went to Chichen Itza.
Ergot
is a fungus that comes
from wheat. But lysergic acid, dimethylene, is a distillation process. So it doesn't occur.
Well, what is lysergic acid? What does LSD stand for?
Lysergic acid, dimethylene?
That's what LSD is.
Yes.
Right. Okay. Well, this guy who is the
Ergamine is the
translator and the guide to us told us that there was a vine that produces lysergic acid. This is his words. And it was like a form of LSD, and they would take it in this one tomb. They had this area where it was an area where they would go. It was right. This dark, cut-out room that they would trip in.
Right. Ayahuasca. He's talking about Ibogaine, no?
Well, no. Ibogaine and ayahuasca are two totally different things. Ayahuasca is DMT in an oral form. Ibogaine is that plant that gives you this fucking rebirth experience and makes people quit heroin. Right. And it's like a super introspective. My friend Ed Clay just did it. And oh my God, he went down to Mexico to an Ibogaine clinic. He had a painkiller thing. He had, you know, had surgeries. He's an MMA guy. He's had a bunch of surgeries. And guys, you know, you get a knee surgery, your knee's fucked up, and you start popping oxys or something like that to try to, so you can get some sleep at night.
He's addicted.
And before you know it, you're fucked. Yeah. Well, you know, I know a bunch of people that's happened to. I know quite a few people that's happened to. Anyway, he goes down to Mexico to this Ibogaine thing, changes his whole fucking life, comes back. He's like this super, like, relaxed person now. He's like a different guy, like just saw himself and his life and broke down his whole world. He said it's the most intense introspective experience ever. Totally illegal in America, by the way.
Right.
Totally illegal. Well, he goes down there and he experiences this shit. But that's not DMT. That's not the ayahuasca is the DMT experience. It's a totally different thing. That's not even really about you. You know,
DMT is great. I haven't done it in a while.
They're the most ridiculous thing of all time, right? It doesn't even seem like, how is this possible?
Dimethyltryptamine is phenomenal.
But doesn't it feel like that? Phenomenal. Like, you're like, okay, what is that? How is that even real?
It's surreal for sure, you know? And all weird realities, though. It reminded me of being a little kid in the hospital and, you know, being high on all the different pharmaceuticals, like the soups they would give me and the feelings of, you know, just boundlessness, you know, not being in your body anymore.
Well, that's where those Mayans were, tripping their fucking balls off, staring at space.
For sure.
Writing shit down. Their little squirrely language. Little draw.
Yeah.
Two frogs. Two frog, one monkey. Like this crazy language. It was like little drawings of shit, you know?
Well, that's what we started with. You know, the A was originally an ox's head, and then it flipped the other way, and then it flipped the way that we see it now.
Really?
But it started as an oxen head. Yeah, it had a little I in it, little dot, and the point went to the left.
That's fascinating.
Yeah, cuneiforms. You know, we were actually.
Why ox? Destroying. You don't even say ox with an A. That's stupid. How did it become
you can
an
actually,
A?
You can, I know. But you can actually look it up. In some of the older, cooler dictionaries, they actually have the evolution of the letters in them. So you can actually see where they originally came.